This is a wonderful place to grow your relationship with God and to be a part of what the Lord is doing in the earth. So you have absolutely aligned yourself with the will of God if this is your home church. And if you're a guest, you've found a great place to experience God's purpose. Thank you for your kindness. It is good to be here. Great to be with my family. Good to know the presence of the Lord. Amen. Let me just try this. I asked Brother Brian if I could try this, so let's try it. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's do it again. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, oh, precious is the flow. Yes, it makes me white as snow. Other found I know nothing but the blood. One more time. How precious, yes. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Other found I know nothing but the blood of Jesus. No other found I know. No other. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's give the Lord a great praise. Hallelujah. 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 Oh. Hallelujah. You would stand to honor the word of the Lord, Romans chapter 5, verse number 20. And it is an honor to minister here. Your pastor is one of my favorite preachers, and certainly God uses him powerfully. And I know it's something you're used to, both he and your ministry team. We don't want to just make this a little family time. We want God to help us through his word. Amen. And so we try to share with you tonight. Romans 5, and verse number 20, kind of picking up the second half of the verse, it says, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace, everyone say grace, might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So for a few minutes tonight, maybe a little bit of preaching, a little bit of teaching, and just a whole lot of trusting God for his touch in our lives. I want to speak to you on this subject. Grace wins every time. Grace wins every time. Ask the Lord to speak to you. Jesus, thank you for your hand upon our lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Heaven View. I pray that every part of this church family, its leaders, the great saints of God, those that are connecting even in this season from the community, let the glory of the Lord be revealed in their lives. In Jesus' name, it has been prophesied and forecast. The best is yet to come for this community and the church that you have allowed to grow and be here. Let tonight be part of that process, and let everyone hear what they need to hear from the word. Through your grace, let it be so. Would you say thank you, Jesus? We pray these things in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Grace wins every time. Because God wins every time. And sometimes, you know, it looks like he's not winning, but he wins every time. And I don't know if you are sports fans. I happen to be a sports fan. If Pastor preaches against it, then beginning tonight, we go back to believing what he believes about sports. But I follow football, a little baseball, a little hockey, a little basketball. I watched curling one time. It didn't do it for me. And so I'm probably not a curling fan. But I noticed you that maybe follow some of these things. They have added something recently. I don't know if this has been around forever, but they call it a win probability index. Used to be you would go into a game just hoping to see your team win, and now all through the game they can tell you which team has a greater opportunity at that moment to win the game. Is that something? I don't know if you need that much statistics in your life. But, you know, if let's just use football as an example. If it's 7-0 in the second quarter, well, then that team that has 7 now has a higher percentage. And they just do that the whole time. It's kind of annoying. Almost as annoying as having a preacher talk about it, this win probability index. And then you get to the end, and of course, if it's a blowout, because you couldn't figure this out on your own, your team now has a 99% chance of winning. Because you weren't picking up on the reality of a 56-0 score, 1 minute to go. But they're helping you all along the way, right? Win probability index. The thing about the win probability index is it cannot account for the supernatural. It cannot account for something miraculous. And maybe the enemy has a annoying habit in your life of constantly harassing you, saying, no way, you're done now. You've already ruined it. You won't win. You won't overcome. You won't be what God wants you to be. You won't grow in your faith. You won't experience his mercy. And maybe as things start piling up in your life, you start feeling that strain. And there are people in our culture, in our world, that are giving up even now. If you don't hear it in the news, it's because it happens so often that now they're not reporting it as a headline, but they're turning to drugs and they're turning to alcoholism. And several times a month in the role that I have in my community, I'm involved in some things where I will come in contact with a life that has tried to take its life or contemplated that. And they're getting younger every day. This past week we went because we heard it was a 13-year-old that was really under this pressure, this sense that it's all over for me. But let me just say it again. You're not putting into your equation the supernatural. You're not factoring in there is a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think according to the power that worketh in you. You're not, you may be running the numbers, adding the numbers up and doing the calculations, and don't run the numbers. I'm not sure that means anything good. If you win, pay your tithe. In fact, put it all in the altar because we got to clean that up. I'm not coming to you for any real reason right now. Just trying to get back on the right page. You've made the calculations. You're trying to get it in your mind, and you've decided to give in to despair or frustration or maybe even build such a sense of negativity that you start building a perception and creating a reality for yourself. That's right. God doesn't love me. That's right. My friends don't understand me. That's right. Even the church I go to doesn't really care that much about me. If I miss, they wouldn't even notice. And I didn't get to shake pastor's hand, and I'm sure he's not even worried about it. Because nobody really understands how difficult my life has become. That is a place you can go. But if you go there, you will rob yourself of the ability to say, I went through some stuff, but Jesus Christ came and made a way for me. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to wake up every morning and say, I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it again. Praise God. You can feel so encouraged when they're singing some of these songs on a Sunday. But we need to allow faith, and I hear it was preached about on Sunday. We need to allow this understanding to produce in our hearts a confidence in God. And we should move through Monday, even without a choir, saying, I know that He can do it. I know He can lift me up. I know He can do those things that man cannot do. God wins every time. Sin grows worse and worse. But He tells us where sin abounded. Grace. There's just going to be always more grace than there is sin. Oh, death, where is thy sting? 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What happens in the life of a believer who begins to see the miraculous? They begin to move forward by faith, and they do not remove God from the equation. You have to make decisions every day. I'm not just praying to mark the time. I gotta have God in my life. I'm not just worshiping to do something. I've gotta have the supernatural in my life. I'm not in fellowship with other believers just because I need a club. I've got to have God in my life. Praise God. You have to move through life making decisions that keep you in the grace of God. Keep you honoring God's purpose. Don't give up on yourself. Believe God. Don't give up on the promises of God for your community. Trust God. Believe He can do what man cannot do. Don't give up on your ministry, on your purpose. And even those in our world that are perhaps in the hardest of circumstances, for the addict, there is grace. For those that are contemplating suicide, there is grace. For those that are fearful, there is grace that is sufficient for the broken, for the hurting, for the sinner. His grace is sufficient. Don't frustrate the grace of God. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2, verse 20, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And then after that, he says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. And so in a basic way, I'll just tell it to you this way. The way you frustrate the grace of God is by living a life outside of Jesus Christ. It could be something where you decide to put Him in a box and you only are part of His work and His way during special seasons or special days. Don't frustrate the grace of God. It may be in a way where you say, well, God, I don't know how you can deliver me from this. And so I'm going to just dissolve into a place of not growing anymore, of not overcoming anymore, of not being what God wants me to be anymore. Don't frustrate the grace of God. How do you walk in the grace of God? The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Even what we do in our flesh, even what we do with our time, even how we handle our relationships, even what we do at work, the life that I now live in the flesh, I invite the supernatural component of God's presence. We're not just going through the motions of a religious experience. We are experiencing grace, and that grace is changing our lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My mom is here tonight, and she now claims Heaven View as her home church. Is that cool or what? That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So sometimes you're not sure what pastor's doing. Just go to his mother.
Can't you talk to your boy?
No, don't do that. Just keep praying, because that's what she'll be doing. Every morning at 5, she'll be praying and praying for God to work in the church and work in the families and work in our lives. And that's what we all should be doing. Praise God. Prayer and fasting is not just for January. I know you got it marked. Oh, I got donuts in my future. Say yes to carbs. February 1. If they got your birthday in January and you got, what kind of, no offense, but I just don't know that you can really have the right kind of birthday cake on certain kinds of fast. You ought to get a do-over in February if your birthday was in January. Who's got a January birthday? Oh, have mercy on dear Brother McBride. Oh. You have a January birthday too? And you're here worshiping and honoring God, and people are fasting, can't even get a piece of cake. I'm not even sure it has anything to do with anything. Preachers can do that and it can sound spiritual the whole time. Hey. But you know, you look at life and mom prayed for us and we pray one for another, and we don't just confine it to a month or to a season. Why do you get up every day and say, Lord, I need you? Why do you through the day, if you're just having circumstances unfold, and pray without ceasing? It really has to do with walking with the Lord and moving with the Holy Ghost and aligning, as Brother Byfield said, aligning with what the Spirit is saying to the church, because we figured something out somewhere along the way. You could face things that would absolutely destroy you, but if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're leading on the Lord, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. There's only one way to get in the Spirit. That's prayer. That's fasting. That's worship. That's the Word. That's fellowship with other believers. It cannot be seasonal, because if you get locked in with God, you will win, because God wins every time. Grace wins every time. Hallelujah. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why repentance matters, and baptism in Jesus' name matters, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost matters. And if you're here and you've never repented or been baptized in Jesus' name, even on a Wednesday night, they're ready for you. Why? Because the gift of God is eternal life. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Don't you get stuck in some mode where you're operating outside of God's will, outside of God's word. Don't you pick up a part of life and start pounding away at a foundation that's built on sand, because you don't care anymore about the Bible or spiritual authority or seeking the Lord with your whole heart. You will not win that way. You will not overcome that way. That story is the same every single time. A horrible pit, a horrible pit, a horrible pit. I mean, some people leave off following God, and they really believe it will go differently for them than it has for every single person. That's crazy. Amen. I know that's not a theological phrase, perhaps, but it's absolutely crazy to believe that you're going to navigate life without God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and there is a way of living as an atheist that you can do it without ever wearing a t-shirt, without ever putting a bumper sticker on your car. You can even go to a church and practically live as an atheist by disregarding aspects of the word and not being tuned into the Spirit and having a heart that goes cold and goes lifeless spiritually. And what you're doing to yourself is you're digging a deep, horrible pit. But I've got news for you and even the enemy tonight. There's an easy way out if you will draw nigh unto him. He will draw nigh unto you. If we have just Sunday right here in front of this section, a young man and his mother, a rather young lady, and he was a young man, and they're both weeping and praying, and it is absolutely amazing to see the Holy Ghost saturate them as two people that through their own confession said, this is a phrase maybe you've never heard, they said, we've been backslidden, we've been away from the church, we've been away from truth. It didn't take 60 weeks, it didn't take 10,000 altar calls. In one altar call, they've got their heads raised, they're speaking in other tongues, and the joy of the Holy Ghost is flooding their soul, because grace wins every time. Don't think that God can't help you move forward and be everything he has called you to be. Don't give up on your calling. Don't give up on the promises God has given you. Yes, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, Paul says to Timothy, deceiving and being deceived. That's going to happen. He paints this picture of immorality, and most of you are aware enough of life and the culture to realize there are things we're seeing now. Headlines blaring even today of a case in Michigan of horrible sin perpetuated over years and lives affected. Probably there were over 100 that were involved in the situation, but probably based on their lives and their families and those connected, thousands influenced by the sin and the immorality of even one individual. And we can look at that and decide it's over. There's no way. We might as well forget about it. And there is a wonderful promise from heaven that says where sin doth abound. Somebody is going to get the Holy Ghost that nobody thought would get the Holy Ghost. Somebody is going to be baptized in Jesus' name that nobody thought would ever be baptized in Jesus' name. Someone is going to be delivered from alcoholism, from heroin, from prescription painkillers that nobody thought. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And even while I'm saying it, somebody came into your mind. You ought to be interceding right now and saying, yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. What's their name? Sue or Mary or Bill or Tom or James or Alan. It's going to happen. And he's, so he tells Timothy, he says, but, verse 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned. We got a messed up situation, but you continue doing. God bless Elder Bibb every time for years. For decades, just one that I mentioned, this congregation has many that could be the same testimony. But no, not perfect circumstances, but continuing in prayer and continuing in worship, continuing in service, continuing in sacrifice, continuing in giving. He told us tonight, we're going to give and we're going to honor God. And we gave the guest a pass, and to God be the glory, giving the guest a pass. But if this is home, you ought to say, I can't wait to do one more thing to honor God, because grace is about to work in my life. Grace is about to work in my family. Grace is about to work. I want to get to prayer meeting. Thank you for Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I just want to be in the middle of whatever God's doing, because grace is about to do something. I feel a liberty here. Apparently. But maybe it crawls up on your shoulder. Once in a while, we got to go to church again tonight. I'll tell you, in Ohio, we don't have a night service. And the zip code is 43068. The cost of living is reasonable, but it gets very cold. And if you're smart, you'll pray fast and say, there's just some things not worth not having a Sunday night service, like freezing. And thank God for leading me to North Carolina. Today I was looking at the weather and it was cold, 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 cold until just a little bit before North Carolina. And then it just started climbing like a rocket. And I thought to myself, I didn't text her, but I said, Emily knew exactly what she was doing. I've been in 3 degrees, 5 degrees, 11 degrees, 8 degrees, 7 degrees for about 2.5 weeks now. And it just finally broke a little bit the other day. But I was driving along. So I thought it'd be warm when I got to West Virginia. I thought it'd be warm when I got to Virginia. And I thought it'd be warmer. And it was just staying in those low 30s and high 20s. I said, this is not what I planned on. But then we got close to North Carolina and like a rocket. You might need to just pray and stay. And I know you that came from New York know what I'm talking about. You might just need to pray and stay. We got dear refugees from Michigan that just got here Sunday. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't even want to read about Michigan anymore if I got out of there. I talked about feeling comfortable, right? But what would happen if people that are people of God would really just connect with God's purpose and say, yes, there are things that test my faith and challenge me on every side. There are moments, guess what? Everyone has felt at times like giving up, and everyone has felt at times like, I don't know if I can go anymore, any further, but there's an answer here. And it's what the apostle said to the young preacher. He said, continue on good days, continue on bad days, continue. Get past January if the Lord tarries, and in February, continue in prayer, in worship, in fasting, in giving. Why? Because the grace of God is going to produce miracles and victories and a demonstration of His holy power. You cannot get anywhere else. He was telling, hurry now, I'm moving very close to what would feel like a conclusion. Try not to land this thing in the river. Be nice to hit the runway. But he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:11, he said, persecutions, afflictions, all this stuff that I endured. He said, but out of them all, oh, grace wins every time. You're unemployed, grace wins every time. Kids won't talk to you and the pets won't look at you. Grace wins every time. Oh, we get discouraged. Things happen, things unravel, things unfold. Sickness, disease, frustration, anger, heartache, temptations. Grace wins every single time. The psalmist said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrow of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. And in Psalm 18:6, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his holy temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears. We are the people of Almighty God. His grace is sufficient. Oh, thank God. I don't remember if I came in August before or after we got a call on a Sunday afternoon, and a 21-year-old or a 20-year-old and a 22-year-old young people that had been a part of our church through the years, and both killed in an accident just a few minutes away from the church. A few days later, a young man whose father had been in church a lot, and in and out, no doubt, but had seasons of knowing the presence of the Lord. And this man at the age of 52 loses his life to a drug overdose. He knows the power of the Holy Ghost. He knows what it's like to speak in tongues. And just like these young ladies, they know what it's like to experience the miraculous. I'm not trying to make this an emotional, dramatic moment, but I am saying to you, there ought to be something within us that recognize there's a value to continuing. There's a value to pressing forward. There's a value to saying, I started out, but I'm going to finish. I started out, but I'm going to finish. No, we don't want to do funerals of people that started and stopped and didn't make it back to the altar in time. We want to go in the rapture with young men and young women and senior saints and married couples and single adults that say, I started out at grace. Hallelujah. You know, we're kind of puny. Not the ladies, but especially the men. If we get sick, it's done. What do you got, a cold? I'm done. I'm done. You know, I gave birth to 4 kids. You know, this is a cold. I'm trying to be sympathetic. We can be kind of puny. We like sympathy. We like empathy. You know, do you feel me? We're all concerned about our feelings. We even, old hymn of the church, feelings. Oh, feelings. You ought to come Wednesday night. You never know what's going to happen. Congratulations, Brother McBride. Wow. Look at God. Only God. She got an education. She's smart. And she picked you. If you don't believe God answers prayer, you ought to be running the aisles right now for our dear brother. God made a way. You think when they're singing, He made a way, you don't think He's just wallowing around? I just don't know. Don't know how, but He did it. You want whatever veil is covering and clouding her judgment to last a few more days. And time would fail me to speak of others. But any man, anywhere, just be thankful. God is merciful. But we're puny. But He's not puny. I made my family laugh. He's not puny. God's not puny. God's not struggling. God's not just, I don't know what to do. You know, even pastors, we don't always, we try to look smooth, but we don't know what's going on a lot of the time. And that's because you lie to us. I promise you, you lie to us. And it's not because you don't like us. It's because you're afraid of the truth. So we don't know what's going on. And you're like, well, God will reveal it. Not if you could just tell us the truth. That's a whole nother message. But He is not puny. And He says to us, because if we will just walk with Him, if we will just seek Him, if we will just make decisions every day, whatever I do, I'm going to hold on to God. It's through prayer. It's through fasting. It's through worship. It's through joining with the body of Christ. It's through submitting yourself to spiritual authority. But if you could just get up every day and make every decision with a mind towards, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to bless God. I'm going to live for God. There are going to be miracles. There are going to be wonderful demonstrations of the supernatural when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Hallelujah. And he says to us, and I am wrapping up if you want to stand. He says to us, now I know, because remember, I admit it, I'm puny. But he says to us, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper.
Right. Yes. Yes.
That's a whole different thing than nothing's going to take me down because I'm God. He has so invested himself in us that he has already determined, if you will walk with me, if you will be my people and let me be your God. He did it with those ancient people throughout the Old Testament. They were not perfect, but as long as they remained in covenant with him, he never disowned them. He never walked away from them. He never kicked them out of the house. He kept coming through for them, and he gave them a promise, and he gives us a promise. If you'll just stay with me, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. That's heavy stuff. Because if the enemy thinks it'll work, he'll try it. If he thinks he can get you with loneliness, he'll get you with loneliness. If he can get you with success, he'll get you with success. He's going to try. If he can get you with discouragement, he'll get you with discouragement. If he'll get you by just getting you to think about a bunch of people talking about you and making stuff up about you, misunderstanding you, I think we ought to get better. Be careful now. Don't feel like I'm trying to be nosy or whatever. We should get better at supporting one another. Instead of believing the worst about each other, we do that. Because if I can believe the worst about you, it takes some of the heat off of me for a minute. He says, no weapon formed against thee. Why? Because grace wins every time. It's an incredible opportunity to live for God. Hebrews calls it a kingdom which cannot be moved. It's incredible. But he gives us the key. That writer says, but let us have grace. Let us have grace. Whereby we can serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. His grace is greater than our failure, than our fears. And what you need to do if you're struggling is say, God, I know your grace is sufficient. Let me have what I need to overcome. You shouldn't give up. You shouldn't just lower. You know what we do when we're struggling with something? We just find a way to excuse that. You should not do that when there's sins or little problems or little habits or little things that you just know. You should say, oh God, I know your grace can give me the strength to overcome that, to be victorious. But we've got to start coming to God and saying, God, I want to live for you. I want to be what you want me to be. I want my life to move in a direction that is aligned with this supernatural kingdom. For somebody in this room, if we ran the index, it would say 99% chance you're not going to make it. What the index does not account for is there's a God in heaven said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. I know everybody's going to come, but I hope somebody just comes boldly that says, yes, I'm dealing with a habit, but his grace is sufficient. Yes, I'm dealing with a failure, but his grace is sufficient. Yes, I've been frustrated, angry, and hurt. I've been so upset I haven't known what to do with my own emotions. His grace is sufficient. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Would you come, church family, and pray and minister one to another? I know the Holy Ghost will help us today. Jesus, thank you for your strength. Thank you for your word. Thank you. Anyone in this room that's here with faith, it's because of your grace. Anybody in this room that's here with boldness, it's because of your grace. Now let it be that we experience throughout this room a demonstration.